Well, today's gospel story is about a chasm, several chasms, actually. Great, wide, yawning chasms that separate those on one side from those on the other. And the perplexing question of this story is, how far does love reach? A physical chasm, of course, means a break or a crack in the earth or some other physical surface. But the Oxford English Dictionary further defines it as a profound difference between people, viewpoints, feelings, etc. And the primary example of that usage is the chasm between rich and poor. So Jesus' parable in Luke 16 is the quintessential use of the word chasm. And to call it a yawning chasm, a common term that I use in my sermon title, is actually to be redundant. The root word for yawn and chasm are the same. A yawning chasm is saying it twice, to emphasize how wide this opening actually is. And this story in Luke is obviously not about a particular rich man and a particular poor man, Lazarus. It is a parable with multiple levels of meaning and universal implications. So we are entirely justified in using our imaginations to see where this story might take us. Where we could go wrong, actually, is to take the story too literally. It's not meant to be a description of the afterlife or even a glimpse of heaven and hell, per se. Paradise and Hades are like characters in this story. They create a context to weave a story and lesson that has everything to do with our earthly lives here and now. The scene is this yawning chasm. On one side is the formerly rich man in Hades, in torment, in agony, suffering from lack of everything, including even a drop of water to cool his tongue. And on the other side of this chasm is Father Abraham, pictured embracing with affection the formerly poor man, Lazarus. Once oozing with sores and malnourished, and now awash in abundance and love and comfort. And this yawning chasm cannot be crossed or bridged. It's a chasm created essentially by the rich man during his life of luxury on the earth. And he's now simply reaping the predictable consequences of a lifetime of making and maintaining these kinds of chasms. Did you catch Jesus' brilliant description of the rich man's earlier life? He dressed in purple and fine linen. He lived in luxury. He ate from a sumptuous table. Outside his gate, lying in the dust, was Lazarus, a man whom he paid no attention to. Likely, Lazarus went altogether unnoticed. He was simply not part of the rich man's world, and the rich man chose to keep it that way. The poor man's dream, his longing, was only to be able someday to reach some of the crumbs that happened to fall from the rich man's table. But that did not happen by choice of those in power. The chasm was created, reinforced, and kept in place by those who decided that this is the way the world is meant to be. But God has a different vision for the world. God's vision is justice, equity, a world of enough, where all are fed and clothed and sheltered and allowed to thrive and allowed to develop into the full and flourishing life for which they were created. The point of this story, it seems to me, is that the chasms of life on this earth are the ones that we can address. There are ways to face them. There are choices that we have about how to live life at the edge of a great yawning chasm. We have not yet become eternal victims of our own cruelty, as the rich man did, when the damage has already been done and could not be undone. Now, this is much easier said than done, of course, because the chasm is yawning. It is too wide to cross with good intentions. It cannot be bridged with greater effort by running faster and jumping farther. But just to name it a chasm implies a possibility. A chasm is created when something that once was together has opened up for some reason. The physical chasms on the surface of the earth tell a story of long ago togetherness. You can trace the contours on one side of the chasm and go to the other side and trace the same contours in reverse. It raises the question of whether the one who once held it together might be able to now bring it together again, might be able to heal the rift. So here is the task of the living, to turn toward the great Creator and great Reconciler and ask how we might join in the work, to ask God, where are you going next and how can we go there with you? God knows there are a sufficient number of rifts that need healing. The gulf separating the rich from the poor is still with us. In fact, it's not only still with us, but the chasm is getting wider. As is the chasm between the oppressed and oppressors, the elite and the masses, royalty and the commoners, those with formal education and those without. Many other chasms divide us, politically, culturally, racially, theologically. This fanciful vision and tale of Abraham and the tormented rich man having a conversation back and forth between the two edges of the chasm separating Hades and paradise is maybe not as fanciful as it seems. This is precisely the kind of dialogue that we, Jesus followers, are invited into now, standing on the edge of our chasms. The role of the community of disciples of Jesus is to first notice the ones that we're separated from. The rich man probably could honestly have said, I never noticed Lazarus lying there in the dust outside my gate. The very reason the rich man had a gate was so that he wouldn't have to notice people like Lazarus. Gates preserve the status quo, preserve social blindness. I wonder what gates we have knowingly or unknowingly put up so that despite our best intentions, despite our most noble and righteous commitments, we need not notice or ever take in the real lives of those on the other side of the chasm. If we were truly intent on crossing the chasm, we would not just keep restating our noble intentions, as we so often do. We would invite God to lead us into some fresh encounters with the one standing on the other side of the chasm, who may well be looking at us with longing or suspicion or just plain confusion. We stand at the edge of not one, but many great yawning chasms. What to do? We ask the great reconciler for help. God, grant us the courage simply to notice, to see those that we are separated from. God, give us the humility to name the fences that protect us, that reinforce our privileged positions. And God, instill in us a deeper desire for communion with those who are on the other side of our chasms. Friends, it is now ours to discern where this parable touches our own lives. It's ours to discover which chasms are keeping us from the full and flourishing life that we were created for. And then to ask God for help. Help now before the chasm becomes uncrossable. Pray with me, will you? This simple prayer of confession found in your order of service, taken from Voices Together. May the love of God, which overcomes all differences and heals all wounds, which puts to flight all fears, which reconciles all who are separated, be in us and among us, now and always. Amen.